Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast and written news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catalin Campano, and today's show is brought to you by Proofpoint. Today's top story comes from social media research group Graphica and the Stanford Internet Observatory, who published a joint report this week exposing a rare social media influence operation promoting pro-Western views. Accounts part of this operation, registered on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, had been active since at least early 2012 and were removed by the companies in July and August this year, with data on their activity made available to Graphica and Stanford researchers for further analysis. The resulting 57-page report details separate influence operations targeting Central Asia, Iran, Afghanistan, and the Middle East, with posts made in Russian, Persian, Urdu, and Arabic targeting local audiences. The campaigns promoted pro-US views, but also narratives critical of Iran, the Islamic State, the Taliban, China, and Russia, ranging in topics from local politics to the treatment of minority groups. The researchers said that unlike bot networks and influence operations carried out by Russian and Chinese troll farms, both campaigns were small, comprising of roughly 200 accounts spread across all three social media sites. As a result, Graphica and Stanford researchers said that despite the years-long effort, both clusters were mostly ineffective and failed to garner any meaningful support for their narratives, mostly because they lacked scale with only 200 accounts involved across two separate clusters. In addition, the two research organizations also said that despite the obvious promotion of pro-US and pro-Western views, neither Meta nor Twitter made any public or firm attribution of their findings. Moving on to the rest of this week's news, we have quite a lot of stories about hacks and security breaches. Probably the most important one is related to password management utility LastPass, which disclosed a security breach on Thursday. In a blog post, the company said that an unidentified attacker compromised a single developer account and then used this account to access the dev environment from where they took portions of the LastApp source code. LastPass said the intruder did not gain access to any user data or master passwords, but questions still remain surrounding the incident, and especially questions about if the attacker made any changes to the LastPass source code used in production. On top of this, we also learned more about the impact of the Twilio hack from earlier this month. Identity and authentication provider Okta said yesterday that it is one of the companies impacted by the recent Twilio hack. Okta said that the threat actor, which it tracks as Scatterswine, has used its Twilio account to view SMS one-time passcodes the company sent to some mobile phone numbers. In the meantime, Twilio has also updated its breach disclosure for the second time since the hack earlier this month and changed the number of affected customers from 125 to 163. Okta now becomes the fourth known company targeted during the Twilio hack after similar disclosures from Cloudflare, Signal, and DoorDash, with DoorDash also disclosing it was affected by the Twilio hack yesterday as well. Another hack reported this week was also the incident at streaming service Plex, which notified users of a security breach and asked them to reset their passwords. The company said it discovered the hack on Tuesday and that the attacker accessed a limited subset of data, including emails, usernames, and encrypted passwords. According to a statement to TechCrunch, Plex said the passwords were salted and hashed, so at least the password didn't leak in plain text, like at other services. On top of this, we also had two major leaks this week. The first was at the 1-2-Trip, a Russian online travel service, while the second impacted AdorCam, an iOS and Android app that can let users connect to their IP security cameras. Both incidents were caused by improperly configured Elasticsearch servers and resulted in the leak of millions of sensitive records. Now, in some leaks shared on cybercrime forums and the associated drama that comes with them, we have two incidents to talk about as well. The first is related to a trove of files shared on XXS, a Russian-speaking cybercrime forum back in June. The files claim to be documentation for Nova, a powerful hacking and surveillance platform for Android and iOS devices developed by spyware maker Intellexa. Despite being months old, the leak finally got some media attention this week, but Intellexa has yet to confirm its authenticity, and the chances the company does so are quite low. The second breach is related to a collection of files shared on Breached, a forum for data breach traders and the spiritual successor of the now-seized Riot forums. A collection of files claiming to belong to security firm Entrust was shared on Breached this week by someone claiming to be a representative for the Lockbit ransomware gang. Lockbit allegedly hit Entrust last month and Entrust refused to pay. The files being leaked and breached come after some substantial drama between the two parties and appear to be some sort of petty revenge from the Lockbit gang after the ransomware gang's dark web infrastructure has been under constant DDoS attacks for days, with attackers telling the ransomware gang to delete the Entrust data from its servers to stop the attacks. Also on ransomware attacks, there's been plenty of incidents affecting smaller organizations this week, but probably the most significant incident was an attack orchestrated by the Quantum ransomware gang against the Dominican Republic's Ministry of Agriculture. Reminiscent of Conti's attack against the Costa Rican government, Bleeping Computer reported that Quantum was more lenient and requested only $650,000 from the Caribbean state, as opposed to Conti's multi-million dollar request. And since we're on the topic of ransomware, we also had multiple reports published this week about new ransomware strains. For starters, we had a report from Kaspersky on Monster, a Delphi-based cross-platform ransomware strain that comes with a graphic user interface for its operators. The second report came from CyberReason and was on Havana Crypt, a new ransomware strain spotted in June that targets home users via fake Chrome update packages. And finally, the third report is from Trend Micro and covered Agenda, a new ransomware strain written in the Go programming language that is being used in targeted attacks against companies in Africa and Asia. In addition, Trend Micro also published another report on a ransomware gang that breaches companies and then intentionally installs the anti-cheat kernel driver from the Genshin Impact video game, as the gang can then exploit this driver to elevate its privileges and mass deploy its payload across an organization. As for other malware and cybercrime news, GoDaddy's security team said that it saw a shift in the deployment of credit card skimmers on websites, with major card gangs shifting from Magento stores to online shops hosted under WordPress CMS. Similarly, another cybercrime trend highlighted this week came in a report from Microsoft, which said that it was seeing an increase in the use of Sliver, an adversary emulation framework developed by security firm Bishop Fox. Microsoft's warning on Sliver comes after a similar report published earlier this month by Tim Simru. Also in malware and cybercrime news, we also had reports from Avast, Unlab and GroupIB about some aggressive phishing campaigns that have been taking place lately. Avast and Unlab reported on phishing campaigns deploying malware like Agent Tesla, AsyncRat, Bitrat and XMRig, while GroupIB detailed a campaign called Octopus, which targeted the Okta accounts of companies across the world. And last but not least, the Python security team itself said this week that it detected a phishing campaign targeting authors of Python libraries listed on the PyPI portal. The phishing emails involved in this attack asked library owners to verify their packages by logging into a phishing site that collected their PyPI credentials. The Python security team said that maintainers of legitimate projects have been compromised in these attacks, and that malware was deployed as library updates, malware the PyPI team has since removed. Now moving on to APT and cyber espionage news, Microsoft published two interesting reports on Thursday. The first was on a new malware strain in a magic web that has been developed by the Nobelium threat actor and used as a post-compromise toolkit as part of their recent attacks. Microsoft says Nobelium is using this tool to backdoor ADFS servers as a way to maintain access to hacked networks during defenders' remediation efforts. Microsoft's second report dealt with recent attacks carried out by the Iranian APT named Mercury. Microsoft said that in recent weeks, Mercury operators started leveraging the Log4Shell vulnerability to compromise CISAID remote IT management servers used by Israeli organizations. Previously, the same threat actor also used the Log4Shell vulnerability, but those attacks were directed at VMware servers only. Moving on to cybersecurity news from the tech space, GitHub announced this week support for SSH commit verification, meaning that developers can now sign commits with cryptographic keys and verify code changes submitted to GitHub via SSH. In privacy-related news, Meta has also settled a class action lawsuit for violating the privacy of Facebook users and tracking their location via their smartphones without permission. The lawsuit, filed in California, was preliminarily settled for $37.5 million. Similarly, cosmetics giant Sephora has also agreed to pay a $1.2 million fine in the state of California for violating the state's privacy law and collecting data on its online users. And last but not least, EU privacy watchdog NOIB filed a complaint with the French privacy agency CNIL, accusing Google of inserting and then disguising ads as regular-looking emails in its Gmail service. This is it for today's news stories. In our next section, we'll hear from our sponsor, Proofpoint's Vice President of Threat Research and Detection, Cheryl DeGrippo, who'd like to share a few thoughts with our listeners on an emerging trend in the tech and privacy market.
So last week, much of the information security community was out in Las Vegas for a variety of events. Myself, I spoke at Black Hat and did two fantastic panels at DEF CON. And the number one thing that I noticed everywhere I went and just about everybody I talked to was privacy, specifically around the browser. So I'll make a prediction. I think that browser privacy and browser security are going to be the next browser wars. Something I noticed both at home when I was getting on the plane and when I landed were ads for a browser, a big browser that most of you probably use. And so my question there is, why are we advertising browsers? This is a free product that you don't have to pay for. And it made me wonder, when is the last time you saw a billboard or an airport ad for a product that's $0 to the consumer? It's $0 for you to buy a browser, yet everywhere they're advertised. That really makes it blatant that the user is the product. So I think we're gonna see a lot of people talking about browser privacy as things like disinformation and the midterm elections in the US start coming up. Things around privacy, especially in light of a lot of the recent Supreme Court decisions in the United States, browser privacy is going to be a really big deal. So we're finally going to start seeing some of that mix of discussion around security overlapping with discussions around privacy. That's not something that we typically see talked about in the same product, especially in the information security vendor world. A lot of them optimize for one or the other, but I think we're going to start seeing organizations and vendors coming out with secure browsers that also protect privacy and have defenses against various kinds of malware, credential phishing, malicious sites, things like that.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.